Hello, everyone. I'm here today to talk about Visual Studio 2010, how you can be more productive with it. Does everyone here code with Visual Studio 2010? Yeah? Any Ruby folks? All right, so first thing I want to do is I want to start talking about some of the improvements in Visual Studio 2010. If you're using 2008, these are things you can look forward to. I believe some of the things I'll be speaking about are items that will work in 2008, but we'll primarily be talking about 2010. The first item, how many people love IntelliSense? You don't really get that with WebMatrix and all those other products, right? But in Visual Studio 2010, we get IntelliSense, and they've improved it to have a camel case filter now. So now you no longer have to get this gigantic list of things that you can no longer find any information on. We also get a Pascal case filter for the VB folks in the crowd. I know there's so many of them here in Belgium, right? For the VB folks in the crowd, Pascal case is like camel case, but we have a capital uppercase, or excuse me, a capital first letter. Camel case has a lower first letter. So the other cool thing we have with IntelliSense that's new is that if we declare a variable with an undefined type, then it's going to display after the new keyword. This is very useful if you're doing things like code first develop. Excuse me, if you're doing like mocking or if you're creating a unit test and you actually haven't written the code yet. So let's jump over to Visual Studio. Let's make sure it's loaded up. So we have a late start. I'm going to open Nerd Dinner just for a project to use to start typing in. We had to reboot my machine right before I went on, so everything's loaded this time. All right, so let's open up the test inside this application. Okay, let's open up our controllers. Maybe go to the dinner controller tests. I'm going to scroll down a little bit. And we have a mock controller context right here, and I'm just going to start typing inside here just to have some place to type. And I can start saying string, SU, and I start seeing that these things start popping up. Edit action should redirect when the update is successful. Multicast not support deception. Not support deception and platform not support deception. If you notice, all these have the SU inside of them. Now, notice that multicast not support deception that we have right there. Maybe I can't remember multicast not support deception. And maybe you're one of those guys that really likes the old school days of typing in Hungarian notation. So we can type in MNSE. And it picks it up. That's really awesome, in my opinion. For those of us who get the shortcuts in our head, we can start typing in really fast, press tab, and we get the whole thing out there. All right, so we could define another type of class. Let's say my class. Obviously, that doesn't really exist. And as you can see, my class is actually going to pop up inside the IntelliSense now, which is great when you're writing unit tests. You haven't actually created the class yet, but you're going to go back and create it afterwards. For you partakers of test first development. It's one of the things I really like about IntelliSense. IntelliSense is really awesome for those like me who can't remember the entire .NET framework. We also get a new mode called Suggestion Mode. And this is important because whereas IntelliSense is great for some people like me and you, other people get really annoyed at it because it keeps trying to correct them. So if you're doing test first development, it's really great because it's not going to try to suggest a class, or it's not going to try to put a class that doesn't exist yet And we can turn this on with Control-Alt-Space. So if I go back over to Visual Studio, and I start typing in, let's see, let's say I have we have Search Controller right here, but I was going to type in Segway Controller. Oh. And it's going to try to do erase segment for some strange reason. You know, bam, it changed it on me. That's not cool. I do not like that. So what we get is something called suggestion mode. Ooh. And that is right here. And you can get to it with Control-Alt-Space as well. I'll turn it on, and you can see it lit up. And now when I start typing, this some random thing, you'll see that it's actually suggesting some things to me. Ooh, I need to, I'm bouncing all over the place here. You'll see I have a little box up there. I don't have anything that matches this, and apparently my smart tag has gotten in the way. I don't have anything that matches this inside the box, but it's going to say, like, you know, you're typing this, here's some other elements you could choose from. And that works really great with our new little ability to have things or classes that don't exist yet pop up inside of IntelliSense. How many people turn this off? I don't blame you. I turned it off too. Except for, I don't know, it can be useful sometimes, but it's been completely redone inside Visual Studio 2010. In fact, Visual Studio 2010 has been completely redone. Look at that thing, it's completely shiny and new now, right? It's all XAML-like. But the start page is redone in XAML as well. This is going to give you so much control over it if you want to use it for your team. So out of the start page, we're going to get things like project pinning. This is really great if you're a consultant and you have a particular project that you're going to work on constantly, but you're constantly firing up new projects, or even for production developers who are doing the same thing. And there's also project removal. I'm not sure if you remember this, but back in like 2008, or actually back in Visual Studio 2005 and even earlier, you would start some little dummy project, and when you're in your early 20s like I was back in the day, you'd probably give them goofy names, and then you couldn't get rid of it, and somebody would walk by and see, like, what's that? And the only way you could get rid of it is going to the registry and wipe them all out. Now it's very easy to get rid of those projects off your start page, and which is actually very important for other reasons, because they also show up inside your taskbar. Particularly, you can pin them, they'll show up in your taskbar. You no longer have to load up the entire Visual Studio and then go select things like through File Open. You can just right-click the taskbar and open it up that way. And that's more of a feature of Windows 7, but I'm actually more interested in showing you ways you can get things done a little bit faster. And you can also get to things with Win-Alt and then the number key of the position on your taskbar. I have my Visual Studio pinned to my taskbar so I can get to it quickly. So, the thing is, since we have this XAML file for our start page, we can redo it. I'm going to show you how to do that first because it's kind of crazy. And then we'll go talk about some of the more practical things, which actually you may consider the start page editing to be practical because of what you can do for your team. So this is your typical start page. You may have added some RSS feeds. Maybe you want to read the latest thing on .NET shout-out. Maybe you want to connect to Team Foundation server and open up projects from there. As you can see, we have our recent projects list down here. perhaps I don't like that. Maybe when I want Visual Studio open up, I want it to be a blank page. That's pretty easily done. For those of you who don't know how to turn that thing off, go to Tools, Options, Startup. Environment, Startup. And you can say at Startup, show start page. We can open up our home page. We can, you know, open up our last load solution if we'd like. But what happens if I want something pretty? Maybe I want a star to show up on my start page, right? Oh, great, my start page is now a star. Yay. Now I can be happy. That's about the extent of my XAML or my geography XAML editing skills, okay? Or geometry, not geography. My geometry XAML editing skills. In more practical terms, perhaps you want to edit it. Hello. Well, apparently I have a slight problem from my resolution. It's calling this place Antwerp instead of Antwerp. That's fine. understand this is my resolution. I really didn't have to spell Antwerp. So you can actually edit your start page and say you don't use TFS. Maybe use Subversion or some other source control system, and you want people to be able to open up their projects from this start page. You could go add a little widget here to do that. You could add widgets to do almost anything you want. So you can allow this to be like your landing dashboard for your developers if you'd like. In this case, I just removed the Team Foundation server, put a little message up here. But it could be, you know, useful for your team. So you're probably like, how in the world do you do that? It's very simple. I put a shortcut on my desktop. I want to stop this. So, under your libraries, Documents, Visual Studio 2010, Start Pages. I have a code like a ninja.xaml, where I plan on putting all kinds of weird stuff one day. Now I have my star.xaml. That's all it is. It's a XAML file. I can drag this into here. So we can open it up and take a look at it. Now you can put anything you want into this XAML file. You may open up Twitter. Maybe do some evil things and install like a little extension to tweet your friends or something every time you write a piece of code. Okay, so if we're going to actually take advantage of Visual Studio and pull things out like projects, though, we need to pull in a few libraries. And it's not going to let me open that up because I'm actually using it. Let me switch back options. Okay, so in this case, we're actually pulling in the Visual Studio Platform UI. We're specifying which assembly it is. So if you have things thrown into your GAC, you can access your assemblies through here. So you can pretty much make these start pages do whatever you want. And we're going to show, or we're pulling in our start page as a resource dictionary so we can get the standard start page layout. And then we're going to set it up and just do our pretty normal thing. I'm going to add a little text box called Hello Antwerp. I've commented out the Team Foundation server section. And down here I have the recent project headings. And the MRU list container is pulling it from our Visual Studio controls in this MRU list box. And we're binding to our recent projects. Our path outs. I mean, it's pretty simple to get around here or get in here and start playing with things. So that was a little bit of fun. But let's take a look at some practical uses or practical things if you actually have your start page up. And that is that maybe I don't want somebody to know that I was looking at this non-REST project. I can now right-click it and choose Remove from List. That's been a long time coming. It looks like I used it again. That's been a long time coming. Because like I said before, you would normally have to go into your registry and delete out the entire MRU list. If I'm going to open up this Nerd Dinner project pretty often, I can pin it to my page. I can always get access to it. Whenever I open up new projects, this will still be up here. And if I open up this, you can see that nerddinner.sln is now showing up under pinned. So I no longer have to open up Visual Studio and then go click around to get to the solution. I can just right-click the taskbar and then go to it directly. And in fact, you know what? It did not remove it from here. I probably need to restart to get this out of this list. So those are some of the enhancements with the start page. But we can start getting to some of the more fun stuff. Code editors. These are the things that most are the place most of us work. This one little thing, the pop-up, that saves me more time than any other shortcut key in Visual Studio, I think. Control dot enter, actually, is what I typically use. I'll show that in a second. The other thing is that how many people in here use Control Shift F to find things? Control F? Yeah, Control Shift F, for those who may not know, will find the entire solution. You can change it to find the project. But usually you have a lot of noise in there. You find things you don't really need. Well, Control Comma is the Navigate To functionality, and it is so much better than using Control Shift F. And if you ever start using the Navigate To, I really doubt you'll look back, unless you need to search comments. The other thing is that we can bring up our metadata with F12 if you really want to see what a decompiled version of code looks like, but you're really only getting the headers. And there's the multi-line edit, which is probably the flashiest thing possible. If you've never seen the multi-line edit, you'll like it, trust me. So let me open up the test project again. And let's see. I think I want to show off the multi-line edit first. We need a really good place to start time. Actually, I think I'm just going to select right here. I can select anything like this. Just holding down the Alt key, I can do a box select. But I can also select a null line like this just by holding down Alt and going down there. You probably can't actually see it, but now if I start typing, it'll type in multiple lines. Now you're probably like, why would I need that? And the reason why you would need that is if you have a big block of private variables and you want, variables and you want to declare them private, or if you need to rename things. Let's see, setting up controllers. Now, navigating two things. See, I'm going to press Control, comma. So bring up our Navigate To dialog. And say I wanted to find the multiple web.configs that are in the solution. This is a pretty small solution, so there's only going to be a couple of them. And you see it starts filtering automatically. I no longer have to worry about finding any comments or anything. Actually, let's find something that's more likely to have something in comments. Type in dinner. And I'm finding like everything named dinner. I'm not finding things with the comment dinner. So that makes it a little easier for us to find things. In this case, we do have a lot of noise simply because there's so many things with the same name. However, it's not nearly as bad as typing in Control Shift F, dinner, find all. where we have come up with ...864 matching lines rather than the 191. So Navigate 2 is definitely an improvement, particularly since it does real-time filtering. When you go to the designer. So the other cool thing about this, and I'll talk about this a little more in a few minutes, but Navigate 2 is actually extensible. This can be changed or changed out to provide it with regex or another types of search or abilities to search rather than just typing a straight phrase. Okay, so the dot. Let's see. Let's type in public class. I'm just wanting to type in something here. I'm trying to think of a really good interface that we can give this. That's a really terrible service name, or a really terrible thing to put inside the middle of this file. But as you see, we get this little tiny tag here. You see in Office. Oftentimes. But I really hate going through and having to click that thing and choose an implement interface and all that other stuff. But you just press Control dot enter, bam, you got the whole thing at one time. Yeah, it's great. It also works whenever you're typing in any type of variable anything where you had that little tag, you can just type in Control dot enter, bam, you got it. It's great stuff. All right. Oh, I should probably mention the highlighting. You can't actually see it on my screen because of the resolution. Oh, yeah, actually, you can up there. You can't see it on my screen because of the resolution. So whenever you highlight something, you actually get highlighted now. And that can be improved upon, and we'll talk about how that's improved upon in a few minutes. But as far as like straight Visual Studio, that's much cooler than 2008, in my opinion. At least then you can scroll through and find where it's being used for your private members. So you can pull up any of your windows with Control W. We can bring up our code definition, Control WD. And there's also the Architecture Explorer with Control N, which is new, which you only get with the, I believe that's the Ultimate Edition. So Architecture Explorer gives you a broader view of your code base. And there's something else that came out a little more recently that I think probably makes it where it isn't as useful for your average developer, but it's still a cool tool to have. In the code definition window, is definitely something that's interesting to have up whenever you're browsing your code. So let's press Control WD, bring up our code definition window. I'm trying to think of a good place to put this on this resolution. So now, whenever I have this thing split in two, and if you're using multiple window or multiple monitors, this makes it really easy where you have one thing up and you're typing in. But say I really want to see the definitions of what I'm working on as I'm working with them. I can have my code definition window up, and I can click on like fake dinner repository, and just open it up inside this window right here. I can click, let's see, this mock class. And it pulls up the thing or the class from mock, MOQ. Pull up a method. It's going to take us to the method so we can see where it was defined at, so we know exactly what we're calling. So that's a useful little window to utilize. We open up our Architecture Explorer. This can give us a better view of some of our of our solution. Actually, I think our class view is a little bit better. We bring up all of our classes that are within our solution so that we can get an idea of how everything's laid out within the namespaces. So we know that inside the nerddinner.controller's namespace, we have these classes. And I think this gives you a better holistic view of the way your solutions are set up, which is very useful when you're dealing with large projects or large solutions. Zoom, zoom. That's probably like the greatest thing ever, particularly when you're speaking and you're like talking to everybody and you need to zoom into your code. I know down the control mouse wheel, it brings the code up on the screen. Awesome stuff. Sometimes I'm in a situation like I'm on a podium and I don't have time to reach for my mouse. I'm a kind of a mouse and keyboard guy. I do whatever is easiest for me at the time. Some people only like the mouse and they'll go click all the menus. Some people love their keyboard. And this is pretty, needs to be known, because if you're a keyboard person, you should know that you can press Control Shift and then like comma, which will bring you to the lesser than, and you have control like greater than, and that's going to allow you to do the same thing that you would have been doing with your mouse. You never need to take your hands off the keyboard for that. Now, you probably see me like zooming in and out of things, and which is very useful whenever you're presenting, and probably useful if you were ever to present to your company. And that's a tool I use for that. It's called Zoomit, which is from SysInternals, which was purchased by Microsoft, so it's free. You can just download it and install it. It allows you to zoom in, start typing, zoom in, start highlighting things on the screen. And that works for everything, actually. There isn't really much to demonstrate there, except for the fact that I can zoom in and out. The other thing is I can press Control Shift, do it with the keyboard. So that's pretty cool. So don't forget, if you ever need to go to see the metadata of something, press F12 and it'll bring the metadata up. There are some tools that are out there that have come out that will allow you to decompile that instantly on your screen. I think several different companies have that now. So, the Hydra. I talked about multiple monitors already. And multiple monitor support was terrible in 2008, in my opinion. Anytime you shut down anytime you move things around, you shut down your system, it seemed like it lost track of where it was. And it didn't really feel like it was a true window sitting outside, out of that one monitor on the other one. It felt like some toolbar sitting there. So now we get real floating windows. And it's probably really important to actually save your profile, because even though it seems to remember them, if you move your monitors around, or if you move the monitors around inside your settings, your profile is going to get messed up. It's also possible for your profile just to get corrupted anyway. It does seem to happen sometimes. So I would recommend saving your profile off and keeping track of that. The other thing is it is fully Windows 7 compliant, so you can use things like your Windows 7, Windows Airs keys to move things around from one edge of the monitor to the other, from one monitor to the other. So I can double-click this and actually bring it out. Instead of being the way it used to be, it actually is a real window. I can actually pull things out and drag them onto here, which is hard to do in this resolution. I can't get this. Okay, let's not worry about it right now. So the thing is, these do act as independent windows. I can then utilize my normal Windows keys to move it around if I wish. There's docking sites all over the place if I need to dock it back somewhere. So it's just pretty handy to keep that in mind. So there's better support for regions. How many people in here like regions? Wow, a few of you. I used to love regions. Somewhere along the way, I lost my love for regions. I'm more of a like very small code kind of guy now. So, but regions are still useful. They're still prevalent. They're definitely useful when you have large pieces of code that you need to be organized, I guess. So the thing is that if someone needs to use regions, but I don't want to see their regions, it's still possible for them to use those. And those are called ad hoc regions. They can put regions in their own code, and I never have to see them. There's one problem with them, though, and that's that they can't be named. They are just these little tiny region files. Now, to use those, if you want to show them, you're going to Control-M, Control-U to unhide. You hide them with Control-M, Control-H. To me, it seems more like you're hiding code and unhiding code. Which could be great if, you know, somebody's written some really nasty code and you're like, I never want to see that again. So everything inside Visual Studio really kind of has a region. You'll see these little squishy bars right here. This isn't a named region, but the class has a region. I can compress it down. This method has a region. So, but whenever we talk about regions, we're usually talking about named regions, like region controller. Actually, I guess that'd be more like constructor. That's really what I'm talking about people doing. Say anybody really wants to mess with those constructors, they can do that. Oh, I guess while we're here, let's hover over it. We have some great hover support. It's really cool. Don't have to span that code to see what it says anymore. And I can just double click the internal part here. Oh, that is definitely decompressing it. Or excuse me, hiding it. But the target area isn't so small. You can get inside the little tiny line. Still kind of small. Okay, but the other thing you can do is create an ad hoc region. So I can select this and press Control-M-H. And that's going to be stored separately from the file. And they no longer have, or that doesn't have to be checked in the source control. So someone can, you know, hide all the code they want. I never actually have to see that. The only downside is it can't be named. It is just a little tiny piece of region, or a little tiny region. Probably going to trick myself. I'm right clicking just in case there's a little thing that says name it. Okay. So if I save this now, and I open Dinner's controllers back up. It's still there. However, if I open up in Notepad++, it's no region. If you want to get rid of it, because I really don't like that thing, I can type in Control-M-U. Notice the little dot went away. It's now gone. I no longer have my region. Probably the greatest thing in Visual Studio 2010, extensions. You can extend Visual Studio 2010 left and right. And The new extensions are provided through the Extension Manager. You can still download the old style extensions. I should probably explain a little bit about that. The old extensions used to be released under something called MPF, the Managed Package Framework. And it was known as the Dark Arts. I guess they got that from Harry Potter. Because it was so insanely hard. I actually wrote an extension one time. I wrote a decision table editor, and one of the trial runs I did of it, or whenever I was testing it out, I had installed it and uninstalled it. Or when I started, everything was great, but when I uninstalled it, it actually messed up Visual Studio so bad that I couldn't even fix it by uninstalling Visual Studio. I had to uninstall Visual Studio, go wipe the registry clean, and then reinstall it. And that's because what happens is, whenever you're dealing with MPF, Managed Package Framework, it's actually modifying the registry. Yeah, it looks all pretty, like you're doing attributes and stuff, when you're really messing around with COM objects. But it's modifying the registry. So you're modifying the registry of Visual Studio. So if you do it wrong, if you make certain mistakes, it is possible that, normal mistakes just won't do anything, but it's possible for you to have installed it, but then when it uninstalls it, it rips out something vital. Now, recently, with 2010, came the Managed Extensibility Framework. Glenn Block's here, you should speak to him if you want to know more about the Managed Extensibility Framework, because I believe he's the one that created it. Or if he didn't create it, he had a big hand in it. So the Managed Extensibility Framework is amazing. You just drop your DLLs out there. It picks up the call sites, and it's got based upon the extension points. And it really does allow you to extend your applications, not just Visual Studio, but anybody using MEF. The only downside is it isn't as powerful. You can't do everything in MEF because all the extension points don't exist. You still need to write certain things in MPF if you want to have very extremely powerful editors. So not everything is converted. So whenever you go to the Extension Manager, what you'll find is you'll find that some of the downloads will take you back to links to download the extensions off the websites. The other extensions, however, that you will find in the online gallery will allow you to install them directly into Visual Studio without ever leaving Visual Studio. And those are very easy to disable or uninstall. It's really just a click of a button. In that sense, the Managed Extensibility Framework is so awesome. It's really just like, I can turn off this DLL by just not including it anymore. If you ever get to a point, though, where you've messed up your Visual Studio by downloading too many extensions, including MPF packages usually, then you can always run devinf.exe, which is your Visual Studio, /safe mode. And that'll run it without anything installed. Unless somebody did a really horrible thing like I did that one time. The extensions that are really, really cool that we should talk about are the productivity power tools. So the Extension Manager, if you haven't used it yet, is available through the Extension Manager on the Tools menu. Now, another great extension is NuGet. I should mention that I don't have internet access right now, so I can't go to the online gallery. I don't think I can. Yeah, that's not looking good, so let's go back out. I believe you saw the keynote earlier today. You probably saw a lot of information about NuGet. NuGet's really, really awesome, just like using the Extension Manager, except it allows you to pull open source libraries and include them directly inside your projects. If you don't have it installed, definitely go into your Extension Manager and pull down NuGet. The other thing is our productivity power tools. Everything that came with Visual Studio, to me, feels like it just isn't enough. There's really more that could be there. And the productivity power tools is a thing from Microsoft to that really bridges that gap between, I guess, Visual Studio 2010 and perhaps the next version. So I need to restart. This one required me to restart. They don't all require you to restart. Okay. You know, before I did that, I should have told you one thing. You do have the ability to pin your tabs up here. But now that we have our productivity power tools opened up, we're going to be able to see a lot more. So I only have two projects inside here. So you're not going to see it to a great extent. But I can open up like controllers, account controller. And notice the phase like this. And by the way, this is before. I can pin these projects if I wish. So I've got the account. Or did that come with this? I keep using productivity power tools so often, I can't remember. So we can pin our projects. We can open up our tests. We can open our controllers. Notice the color is different between these two. This is kind of pink. This is kind of blue. So whenever you have many projects, this kind of allows you to differentiate between which project you're in very quickly. So that's kind of cool in and of itself. How many people despise the references dialogue because it's so slow? The new references dialogue that comes with the productivity power tools is really awesome. Just click add references and notice, looks kind of different. Yeah, this thing actually remembers what's in the framework and it caches them all up for us. And it actually has check marks next to the ones that we've already used. I mean, to me, the add references dialogue, that's just worth it in and of itself. To go download the Power of Productivity Tools. Plus, it's free, so why not? Now, I mentioned a second ago about NuGet. In case you guys didn't get too much information, I don't have the internet right now, so I can't really do much with this. But once you install NuGet, use the add library package reference, and it's going to come up looking very similar to the way the extension manager did. I don't have any packages installed, but this will allow me to, well, I can't go online at the moment. This will allow me to go search for things like methcontrib, if I want to use methcontrib, or msbuildcontrib, or open source libraries out there, or anything that's really hosted in the NuGet repository. And it'll automatically install it in my project. So whereas the extension manager allows you to install it inside Visual Studio, NuGet allows you to install things directly into your projects. That's pretty much the key difference. So if I go to options, we see now that we have a Power Productivity's Power Tools thing, and I can actually turn all these things off. So we have a thing that automatically aligns our assignments. If I don't like that, maybe I really like Jagged Code, I can turn that off. Have automatic brace completion. You know, the funny thing is, I forgot some of these were in here because I'm so used to using them. So used to my Visual Studio doing this stuff for me now. We get Document Well Plus, or 2010 Plus. This one can kind of annoy me a little bit, the fix mix tabs, because I seem to have some other tools that generate things with tabs and some things that don't. So, and that seems to pop up on me a lot, depending on which projects I'm working in. Highlight the current line, as if that really annoys you. Middle-click scrolling. You can organize your VB imports. Searchable add reference dialogues. And, I mean, there's just some really great stuff in here. And the other thing I really wanted to tell you about is the Solution Navigator. As I told you before, there is this window, the architecture window. Well, the Solution Explorer window, or excuse me, Solution Navigator, kind of takes that out if you just want to explore your classes or navigate your classes. You can just use that one. And searchable ad reference dialog. So if you really don't like the ad reference dialog, you can turn that off. So let's see, view. And under here, you see that when you have a new window called Solution Navigator. Click on Solution Navigator. And I've got, it looks very similar to Solution Explorer. However, it's going to allow me to search directly inside of here. So that's pretty neat, I think. And let's see, there was another view somewhere. I think we can also change our routes around if we really want to see routes. Oh yeah, okay, so there we go. We can view this as a route. So the Solution Navigator gives you a quick way to browse through your solution rather than using Solution Explorer. It's a really good replacement for it. All right, next up. Actually, I should mention that you see your lines highlighted as well. I kind of turned that off because I don't really care so much for that one. Also, if you notice, we have these little tiny things popping up. Remember before how we highlighted a variable, and they showed up inside the code editor. But couldn't really figure out where they were at. And they could be spread throughout a file. And somebody has a large class file that could be difficult to find. Well, now we have these little tick marks that show us where to look for these things at. Highlighted here and highlighted here. So that's pretty handy. Okay, so all the refactoring capabilities of Visual Studio are accessed with Control-R. And you can encapsulate a field really quickly with Control-R-E. I use that pretty often, except for the fact that sometimes when I'm working with Model View View Model applications, I'm having to put Notify Property Change or Raise Property Change, depending on what I'm using inside of there. The extract method, another pretty useful thing to do, particularly since you shouldn't have really long methods. If you see a place where you're adding comments, then it's probably a good idea to extract that method and name it. We can do the same thing with extract interface, except instead of pulling the method out, we're actually taking all the method signatures and property signatures and putting them into an interface for reuse. And the rename, I don't really use the rename so much simply because whenever I rename something, I get that tag up. And then I press Control-Enter. For example, if I go back over to the Dinner's controller, you should probably not rename the Dinner's controller. That would be very bad because of the coupling by convention that's being used. Let's go to a helper. Say I wanted to rename add model errors to some there's really no good name for this, so I'm just going to rename it like that. We have our little tag pop up, as you see. I'm press Control dot, and it's automatically going to come up with rename add model errors, add model error. And if I press enter, it's going to automatically rename it. So the refactoring is pretty much taking place for me without having to deal with the dialog. If I want to bring up the rename dialog, it will actually let me preview references. So I can see how it's going to affect my code base before I do it. It also allows me to search in comments and strings And I can rename my overloads as well, and I may want to do that simply because I don't want to be left with all those comments or those stale comments inside my code base. Now, if I go back over to the controllers, if I see something like this right here, maybe I'm searching. That's not a really good place for a comment. I'm assuming that's not a really thick piece of code for me to extract, but I can still extract that out. I give it a new method name. It knows the exact signature I need. In this case, it needs to pass in a string and an I creatable at dinner. I may want to change that a little bit. Maybe I only need I have to look over it to be completely sure. Searching. It's returning I creatable dinner. Searching for dinners. Actually, it looks like get dinners. Probably, I don't know. So, that's one way to take care of that. And obviously, a new, I'm not sure if you noticed that, so let me do it again. It knows that it's assigning this dinners from this. So, whenever I did the control M, it knows it's returning the I queryable dinner. I called it get dinners, and it knew that I needed to assign that variable. So, it's intelligent enough to at least do that much for us. Now, the other thing that I do pretty often, say I would want a property for this. I oftentimes start off with private fields, and I'm like, oh, well, okay, this actually needs to be promoted to a property. And that's pretty simple to do like that. With the modern C#, I'd probably be more inclined to do this right here and rename it and give it a get set like this, and maybe make it a private set if it was supposed to be privately set. But if the control RE is still very useful where you need control over that private variable, particularly if you're going to go inside of here and make changes to it. Don't make your member variables public. All right, so we have ticks up. All right, so I have about 15 minutes to take questions about anything in Visual Studio that I'm aware of. There are many other features that we could talk about. But I really want to also make sure you guys go log into this website to keep up to date, and you can join us on Facebook. I forgot to show you slides in my last session, so be sure to do that if you need to. And if you want to see any of this information afterwards, you can download the content later on from channel9.msdn.com/bellix. Okay, so any questions, and we'll go back to Visual Studio. I need to step out of the light so I can actually see. Nothing? Really? Okay, so suggestions, things that you do that you think is really awesome with Visual Studio 2010 that I should tell people about. Yes. I'm sorry, what was that? Oh, the shortcut to indent. That's a really good one. And that was control KD. I have to go look at the thing just to be sure that I have it right. Advanced. So, format document is control ED. And I think there's another shortcut for it as well. Just like there's another shortcut for the control dot, that requires two key presses. But the Control ED will allow you to format your entire document. And you can select the document as well, or excuse me, format a selection as well if you don't want to format the whole thing. And the other thing is, it's very useful to know, is about the comment selection and uncomment selection, EC and EU. Because sometimes you'll be working with something, and you'll be like, you know, I don't really need to do this part right here. So you'll select it out and hit Control EC, and it's commented it out. Again, without leaving the keyboard, if I have to press dot dots everywhere or slash slash everywhere. Okay, any other comments or any other suggestions? There are snippets. If you type in things like prop, you can get it spanned completely out to do your properties that prevent you from typing those completely in. Prop A. You should do a dependency property. So those are actually, you can actually add those. They're just an XML file. And I don't believe I have the location for those. Oh, I don't need to do that. But there are a pretty good amount of snippets. We go to Code Snippet Manager through Tools, Control-K, Control-B. And you can look at your list of snippets that are available right here. And if we look at our C-sharp snippets, we have things like prop, prop G. We have prop A, which wasn't in here, but that's for WPF primarily, for dependency properties. And we can add a new snippet if we want to. And there's a lot of snippets available in Codeplex. Just go to Codeplex and search for snippets. And I believe some people have put libraries of snippets out there to make your life a little bit easier. But those are a good way to keep you from having to keep typing things in. So prop full is the one to do a full property if you don't want to do the standard our short properties that we have nowadays. Prop full, bam, get the whole thing out. All right, any more? Okay, guys, we have a little bit of a break. It's about 30 minutes or so till the next session. So thank you very much.